From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here with you on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast absolutely free. And I say free because of great people like Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason for all of your everyday carry, your ammunition and firearm needs in one location, plus their great Wednesday night auctions at notjustguns.com. You can find also our friends at Conquest Sense over in Davison, Michigan, makers of VS1 and Evercom, Sense in a Stick, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, all bringing you the show each and every week and anytime you want to hear it on the podcast. And we're going to jump right into things. We got the opener of walleye happening this weekend, and who better to talk to than Freshwater Fishing Hall of Famer Mark Martin. Mark up in the Keweenaw Peninsula right now, getting ready for the opener up on the big water. Mark, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, Duran. It's, nice to do our old opener up here. I mean, we used to have a whole statewide opener on May 15th. Now they've broke it up lower and upper peninsula. And thank goodness I'm up here to catch the opener up here, which I know it's going to be good.
And it looks like a decent weekend for that type of fishing also. Although I haven't checked your weather, our weather looks like it'd be conducive to it. And I can't imagine that there's a lot of difference going on right now.
No, not much at all. And, even a bad day is going to be a good day because I'm going to be out catching. The way I look at it.
Mark, one of the things we've maybe touched on a little bit, but never really in depth, no pun intended, but is line counters and planer boards. You've been a great ambassador to the sport, with your sponsors and whatnot. I know Church Tackle has put up planer boards. They've done a really good job with theirs. And now line counters are going digital, as where we have had the typical, mechanical line counters, but I see now that that digital is going hand in hand. But there is kind of a mathematics science to putting out planer boards with distance, with depth, with weight of lure, with speed. There's a lot of stuff that you can lose me like in the first couple of seconds with, but how you explain things makes it a little easier.
Yeah, when I was in school and not paying attention in math class, you're going to need math in fishing, right? Well, guess what? You got a lot of figuring out what to do with the lures and how far they dive with this much line out. So there's math and a lot of things in having the digital line counters, especially the digital ones now, because they light up at night too. So it makes it even that much easier to see, even though you can use a headlamp or a flashlight or anything like that. They're right there, all self-contained, which makes it a lot simpler in some ways with things you gotta fiddle with. So the big thing with when you're using line counters, before you ever get started, and people make this mistake, and we go through it in our schools when we have the open water school, we calibrate the reels of everybody. Oh, I got, mine are full of line. Well, yeah, they either can be too full or not full enough. Each person's, difference of what they think full is. And every time we go, and we either got to strip off a bunch or we have to go and put some more on and start over again in some cases, because it's just amazing that they've been fishing all these years. And I learned that back in the tournaments is I'd be fishing with some of my partners that were sharing information, and they're going, "Well, I'm catching them 50 feet back," and I'm like, "I put mine back with the same lure fishing right behind you practically, and I'm not catching anything." And so we get back to the motel, and let's get out in the yard and measure off 100 feet, put a stake in the ground, measure it off, put another. Well, okay, run. I'll hold on to the end of your rod tip and run it over 100 feet out. Oh, geez. Their 100 feet is only 50 feet or 75 feet. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. And so you're going by these books that are published, the information, the apps that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't start out by calibrating your reel so that 100 feet's 100 feet, you're never, ever going to, you know, be in the ballpark no matter how the lures, you tune the lures, you got everything else perfect, but you don't have the lures at the depth you're wanting them to get down to. So tune them, tune the lures, but tune in your reels by calibrating them, and you're going to catch a lot more fish when you're using your line counters from now on, and that's going to be I see that. We get done with the school, and these people, you know, they're just freaked out that they're catching so many more fish than they ever have, and a lot of it is attributed to, you know, especially if we're using line counters, is they weren't calibrated. And then the planer boards is the other thing that people, they don't give a lot of thought to the planer boards. You got different mm-hmm. varieties of sizes of planer boards, and they're tools, you know.
Right.
And then I have, you know, with the church, I have the church inline planers of various sizes, and then I have the stern planer in two different sizes. And people think, oh, that's a gimmick, those stern planers. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some days those two stern planers will catch more than three planer boards on each side of your boat just being straight out the back. And, you know, what happens is these fish are feeding in the prop wash as mm-hmm. you're trolling. And, you know, they got to come back, so they go out around the boat and maybe don't even hit the side planers. And then by the time you're moving forward, they slowly come back to where you spread them out before you, as you were coming to them. And now you got two stern planers back there. And usually I put them back 250 to 300 feet, so they're 50 feet apart, so they don't mess up with each other, and you can make any kind of turns you want. But that gives the fish time to come back behind the boat and be right in with those planer or those stern planers. And it makes a huge difference. And the other thing is, let's say you did get a hit on the side planer and it went back and you went to grab it and the fish let it go. Well, you even let it spin out and drop back and click it in gear and pull and he isn't there. So what you want to do, you got enough time because you got 250 feet to 300, depends mm-hmm. on what side of the boat that side planer went back on. You go to that side where the stern planer is, and you want to have a long rod, you know, preferably about 11 footer, and you kind of steer it out over that same general area where you just got that hit on the side planer. And 50% of the time, I figure I'm able to pick up that fish or another fish that was in the area. So
sure.
It and you use the side planers and stern planers in conjunction with each other because they don't interfere with each other either, because one's way out and the other ones are right beside the boat. And no matter which ones you get a fish on, you can easily take care of with having both types out.
All right, Mark Martin is our guest here. We're going to talk more with him as we're getting ready for the UP Walleye Opener here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, and online at wildmichiganradio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Check us out online at wildmichiganradio.com. Mark Martin is our guest right now. MarkMartins.net is where you want to go to find Mark or follow him on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook as well. And Mark, we talked a little bit off the question of your line counters. And, you know, and you really kind of made a point that hit with me in a different way. It's kind of like, you know, your speedometer is calibrated for one size wheel and one size tire. You go messing with that, it's going to switch some things around and make you look like you're doing 100 when you're only doing like 50. You know what I mean?
Or maybe you get a ticket and you really were doing 100.
Right. You actually had the right size tires and wheels on your car, but or the right combination of both. But
right, or two big ones, and it showed that you're doing 60 miles an hour and you're doing 80 or 90 or whatever.
Not saying that's ever happened to me.
No, I use that as an excuse, I guess. People that know me could see me using that as an excuse, I tell you that.
Oh, sure. But I mean, that's kind of an easy way to put it.
Oh, yeah, you know, people. You know, when you put it that way, calibrations might go right out of, you know, like, what are you talking about, you know? But you put, you know, too much on, it's going to read one way, and you put too little on, it's going to read the other way, and you got to be right on. And say you fished all day long, and you got tangled up because your lures weren't tuned, and you cut off 50 feet. Well, you cut off 50 feet. You better add that 50 feet at the end of the day. It just doesn't miraculously stay that number after you did something like that, you know. So you got to, you know, remember what reel that you cut the line off of all the time. So it's a process of, you know, keeping track when at the end of the day which reel you got to fix, you know. And if you don't, you know, then you forget by the time you go the next time and you get it all mixed up. Pretty soon you got another one with 25 feet off, and pretty soon you're fishing just the way you started before you even calibrated.
Now, Mark, when we're going back, we're speaking with Mark Martin here on Wild Michigan. Mark, when we are measuring speed, distance, depth, I'm sure it's a little bit easier with crankbaits and things of that nature, but what about things like crawler harnesses and other types of baits that we're using? Because there are different weights involved, and there's nothing on the package saying, you know, at this depth, it'll go to this depth, you know, at this speed or whatever.
Right. You know, we'll just go, for instance, a 1 ounce clip-on weight, you know, on your line, you know, it'll take like a crawler harness, you know, that's what we're talking about right now, because it really doesn't dive. It will do, if it does anything, it'll raise up once you put it down. The blade will cause it to catch water and come up. And, you know, I'm trying, of course, I got to think about this for 2 seconds, you know, what it would give you so that I can give a correct answer to all your listeners out there. You know, let's see here. I carry in my head here and everything else that, you know, what 1 ounce brings it down to would be, and I have it right here in my pocket too, and that's what I was looking for. And I all of a sudden,
it's a screwball question. I don't think.
Yeah, right. Well, it's something that is real important to me. It's super super important to find out. You know, because at 1.5 miles an hour to 2 miles an hour, it'll make a difference in it. You know, the amount that you put out. So, like, we'll just say. I can't even find it in my wallet here right now. But the thing is if you got to know your the amount of line you're putting out, we'll say, is 100 feet with 1 ounce of weight. You know, I think it's every so many feet brings it down 10 feet with 1 ounce. I think it's like 100 feet or something like that, 120. I hate guessing. You know, I don't want to do that, but I am guessing, everybody. But it's around 100 to 120 feet at 1.5 to 1.8 miles an hour. And so when you put it on a crawler harness, and that'll bring it right down there. So, you know, if you double that amount, it'll bring it down that much further. And you just go by, it's a real simple equation that you're doing with a 1 ounce weight there. But you can, the thing is with a 1 ounce weight, you can put that on a crankbait too and bring that crankbait down a little bit more with that too. And people are doing that quite a bit. They're putting a lot of clip-on weights in front of maybe 20 feet, 30 feet in front of a deep diving Husky jerk, and it gets it down there that much further than it would be by itself, where 120 feet of deep diving number 12 Husky jerk would be about 15 feet, you know, and now you're getting it down about 20 feet with a 1 ounce weight in front of it. So you can do things that you could normally not do. But the thing is, when you're using crawler harness, we'll get back to that. When you're using weights, I'm going to tell you another phenomenal thing that if you're, say, out on Saginaw Bay, we'll just say that because people know it. If you're using inline weight and it's nice and calm to, you know, and you're catching fish and catching fish, and you're using a 1 ounce inline weight about 8 to 10 feet above your crawler harness, and all of a sudden the wind starts coming up, and now in just no time at all, it could be over 2 feet, 3 feet waves, and you're still using that. You know, it's not like you got to get off because you got a boat that's good enough that you can handle the waves. You better change, because all of a sudden you notice that you're not catching as many fish anymore. And it's not, you got a bad spinner blade, you got a bad presentation is what you have, is because that the waves are making you surge. So you go into a wave, you slow down, so does that spinner. And then you go down the wave, you like surfing it a little bit, and it pulls it fast. So if a fish is following it, you could pull it away from them, or they could feel the surge, or it could drop it back into the fish's face. What you want to do when you become, the boat starts surging, you put clip-on weights on. No matter what weights you're using for inline or what weights you're using for, you know, clip-on, you want to make sure that you put a clip-on weight on once the waves get around 3 feet in height, two to three feet of height, and you're going to have more success, because now you got a V. This weight is pulling down from your rod tip, and then it goes back up to the crawler harness. So you got a V type presentation from the sinker going up to your lure and back up to your rod tip. So if it surges, all it's doing is pulling that V to a smaller V, and you're not getting a surge anymore.
All right, it's Mark Martin. Find him at markmartins.net, or find him here on the Michigan Talk Network with Wild Michigan.